Tonight we're going to speak on Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is the psalm. Wow, is that Vadim? Good to see Vadim here. Wow. Psalm 91 is our text tonight, so we're going to go through Psalm 91 and speak about the secret place of the Most High. And the way I want to do it is, before we preach on it, put it on the screen. You have your own Bible, if you brought one. Read the psalm, and then talk to your neighbor a little bit about the psalm. Maybe everything you know about the psalm. And that'll take about a minute and a half. Okay, so you're going to do a little work before we go on in the next part of our service. So this part is you reading Psalm 91, making note of it, and then you're free if you want to have a little fellowship with your neighbor on that material. So that's Psalm 91, and this will take, you know, three or four, five minutes. Okay, so go ahead. Okay, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You may Google this and check it out if you like. There's a historically accurate story of World War I, American 91st Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Expeditionary Army. Okay. All right, so thank you. They were preparing to enter combat in Europe, and most of the men were green soldiers who had never seen combat. Its commander, a devout Christian, called an assembly of his men, where he gave each a little card on which was printed the psalm 91. They agreed to recite the soldier's psalm daily. The 91st Brigade was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I, Chateau Thierry, Bellewood, and the Argonne. While other American units similarly engaged had up to 90% casualties, the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty. Wow. Well, in my heart, and I'm sure in your heart, we have been born again by God's grace and drawn close to God. To be close to God is the greatest gift any of us could ever have. To be in fellowship with Christ and to walk by faith in Him and experience His presence in our life as a way of life is our great gift. And it costs God a great price to reconcile us to Himself and to call us and draw us into the secret place of the Most High, in verse 1. He that dwelleth, the Hebrew word has it that you are spending the night, you are permanently there. It isn't as if you are dwelling, as in the sense of permanence, in the secret place of the Most High. The rabbis believe that Moses wrote this psalm because he wrote Psalm 90, and in the psalm that follows, if there is no special title or author given, then it is assumed it's part of the previous writer's collection. So Moses wrote Psalm 90 and 91 probably, and he is one of the Old Testament saints who knew about the secret place of the Most High, because he would often go before God on the mountain where he was 40 days, and when he came down, his face was shining. I would like that to be in my life too, and I'm sure you as well. I would like to have a relationship with God in such a way that I experience and touch that reality. There are a number of people in the Bible that could be used to illustrate it. Moses is one of them. Moses was in the land of Egypt, and he saw the plagues come upon the Egyptians, but not touch the Jews. I read this book about the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia that was Pol Pot's regime was massacring the Cambodians in the name of communism. And there was a revival at that time, a spiritual revival. The author Todd Burke, Anointed for Burial is the name of the book. Fascinating little book about the revival in Cambodia. The people that were hungry because of the desperateness of what was happening. And this small Christian family was praying, and there's a picture of the devastation, and their one house standing in the devastated, bombed-out, artillery-bombed area, and it was their house, and they were in the house praying with Psalm 91. I don't ever want to think that we are building our hopes up in something artificial, but I would like you to think with me in reality that Moses said that there is a secret place of the Most High. And if we dwell there, we are under the shadow of the Almighty, in verse 1. This idea of shadow is as a bird with its wings protecting its chicks. It's in Deuteronomy 32:11, when Moses said that Israel is like that, like protected by God by his arms, or under the wings of the Most High in the book of Ruth, finding refuge under the wings of God. Jesus said it in Luke 19 when he looked over Jerusalem from that higher elevation there on the Mount Olivet where he was praying that night, looking down, and said, "Oh, if you had only known the peace that I have for you." And wept. Because God is jealous, but not jealousy as we think of in our flesh, but jealous in this way: I want to help you. I want to give to you. I'm jealous like a parent for its child, having the best, getting what they need. I'm jealous for their safety, their security, their blessing, their honor. I want to promote them and honor them. This is in the nature of God. But he can't do it with our sin. With our sin, it separates us from God. And that we don't quite understand it or grasp it. But when you are spirit-filled, you understand the difference between your flesh and the spirit. The secret place of the Most High, Moses, knew it. It says at the end of his life, he was 120 years old, and it says his eye was not dim or his face abated. It seemed that he didn't age that much. And at the end of the psalm, it's verse 16, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." We could say to Moses, "Have you had a long life?" He'd say, "Yes, 120 years, and look at me. I'm like Jack LaLanne." That's dated. You know, I'm an older guy, but in great condition. God has given me long life. There are some meditations that I've had recently about the Spirit moving. I love this story about Elijah. The king said he was very angry because famine was in the city. And the king said, I'm gonna take off Elijah's head. This is 2 Kings 7. Elijah is sitting in his house, and he knows what the king is doing. And he says to the elders, he said, the king wants my head. I've read it a few times today, but bear with me. But this is the meaning. The king wants my head, the son of a murderer, and he's sending a messenger in front of the murderer, the man that wants my head. And when he comes, apprehend him and hold him. And then within a short time, the man comes, they apprehend him and hold him. And then Elijah prophesies. He said, tomorrow there'll be so much food in the city. These stories show us that when God is with you, that God is instructing you, God is giving you an understanding and helping you in your life. You are in a secret place. It means that many people don't know about it. You know what a secret place means. When we played hide and seek as kids, I had a place where they could never find me. Under the stairs. Duh. And there I was, hiding in a secret place. Not the common route, but a secret place. And that is where Christ was living, in the secret place of the Most High. If we did a historical sketch of Christ, and you see the attacks and the attempts, and they can't get their hands on him, you realize that it cannot happen until it's God's time. It cannot happen unless it is God's will. And many times, Job said, he delivers us out of 6 troubles, yea, out of 7, no evil shall touch you. Well, this psalm is written with this in mind, that when we are actually in connection with God, in communion with God, and you might say, Pastor, I don't have the time to be in a monastery meditating and praying every day. Am I close to God when I drive my car on the beltway? Am I close to God when I'm taking care of my children and changing their diapers? Am I close to God when I'm washing those crummy dishes? Forgive my attitude. This is important, that you are designed by God in your design to put the Holy Spirit in you, and that the Holy Spirit has communion with you in a fellowship with God. If it wasn't so, it would be very disappointing. But it is so. And there are examples. We mentioned Moses. We mentioned Elijah. And there's three more that I want to mention. Joshua. When Joshua came out of Egypt, he saw Egyptians floating in the Dead Sea, washed up on the shore. He saw the whole army destroyed. And then Miriam danced with the national dance on the other side of the Red Sea, and the Jewish side there, and the wilderness side, and they celebrated, and Joshua saw what it meant to walk closely and carefully with God. I want to ask a few things. If your friend has a different mind, if your friend is careless, which is the age that we're living in, everything is general. The only thing they don't like is for us to be specific They don't like us to be dogmatic, exclusive. They don't like us to say that we have the truth. They don't like it that we say Jesus is the only way. They don't like it when we say the Bible is God's word that gives me definition for my life. They say, let not this man rule over us. Luke 19. Yeah. But we have found in that narrow entry, the commandment is exceedingly broad, Psalm 119. We have found the sheep has been brought in Hosea 4 into a broad place. Psalm 23, the green pastures, the clear, still waters. You know, sheep cannot get close to fast running water. They're afraid of it because if they fall in, they're gone. But still water, peace, quiet, peace, God's mind, God's spirit, God's truth. But this narrow entry is the entryway to the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I once asked a charismatic, why do you pray in tongues? And he said, so the devil can't understand my prayers. So I'm not mocking them. I'm not mocking. Please understand me. But to illustrate it, I am praying. So I'm doing a communication in tongues in my prayer. So it's scrambled because I'm hiding in a hiding place. But I don't believe as I speak English clearly in my prayer, I don't believe that the devil is invited into that fellowship. I don't believe that he has access to my prayers. He's not invited. I don't believe that he can hear or understand my prayers. He's not part of it. Do you remember Joseph in Egypt? When he cried, I'm the brother. He didn't say it. His brothers are there. And he realizes he's touched. And he cries. He goes out of the room and he's sobbing uncontrollably. Then he washes his face. He comes back in. He understands Hebrew. They don't know he speaks Hebrew. He's speaking Egyptian. And he uses an interpreter because he doesn't want them to know who he is. Then when he decides, he says, he puts all the Egyptians out of the room. And then he says, I am your brother, Joseph. Wow. I bring that up because many of the things that we are part of are a secret to the kingdom of darkness. I think if the devil was to look at this room, he might not see anything. I want you to bear with me in understanding what I mean. There's a secret place of the Most High. It's a place where you are in Song of Solomon, in the communion, in the bedroom. The kisses of his mouth are as sweet as wine. The smell is of myrrh and frankincense. The bed is anointed. Who is welcome there in that place of spiritual connection and communion? There is no enemy there, no more than I would have my enemy in my bedroom at night. No, it's a secret place. No more than the devil would have any understanding. Now, here's a... When Jesus came, he was in the secret place of the Most High. And the devil came at him. The devil didn't have a clue. Why can't I get this guy? Why can't I grab a hold of him and have him sin? Why can't I tempt him? Why don't my temptations work? Because devil, he is in the secret place of the Most High. And God, his Father, is with him. And you will not be able to touch him until a certain day. And on that certain day, you can have him. But you cannot touch him up until that point because he is covered. He is protected, like Psalm 91 says. Now, Joshua, what about it? He said Joshua would say at the end of his life, I defeated 31 kings. I took over Canaanite and Philistine territory. Hittites had no authority over me. I am amazed at our army. I am amazed at God's anointing on our ministry. I am amazed that we're able to go in and out. I am amazed at the blessings that are coming upon us. I am amazed that this is God's way. And we would say, Joshua, why is this blessing upon you? And he'd say, because I was with Moses in the secret place of the Most High. He laid his hands upon me, and I've been walking in that, and I want to be close, and I see the people drifting away. This is Joshua 23. I see people drifting away. And I might say, I see it also. That's why if we could have the hunger to be close to God, I look for it in my own heart. I want that. Because when I move away, life gets so, to me, it seems so, I'm not satisfied. I find a wandering. I'm prone to wander, the song said. Confusion, disappointment, temptations get bigger. That thing was not even a temptation before. I didn't even have that as a temptation before. Now, why is that temptation so powerful in my soul? Why do I want to do that stupid thing? Why do I want to be careless and do that this stupid, sinful thing? Why do I care about it? That wasn't there before. And the Lord said, yeah, good question. Would you answer that for me? When I am rich toward you in grace, I will fill you on the spot with my Holy Spirit. I will encourage you in a second in the presence of the assembly. I'd anoint you with fresh oil. I will satisfy you. I will go deep into your heart and give you answers and reality in your life and edify you personally. But the entryway to the secret place is narrow. But if you can take up the cross and go in that secret place, then you will find yourself with me there honoring you. So we have Moses, we have Joshua. The next person is Caleb. Caleb lived a long life too. Caleb was crowned with it. He had a different spirit in Numbers 14. Caleb, when he was 87 years old, he said, give me that mountain, I'll take the mountain. Militarily, it's harder to take a mountain. I'll take that one because I feel that I'm capable because of Psalm 91. I'm saying that because Psalm 91 is like this for us. Let's read verse 2. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. I read about Charles Spurgeon. There was a plague in London, 1854. Many people dying. He said he went to nurse them, care for them. He was exhausted himself as a young pastor. He went to funeral after funeral as people were dropping like flies. And he thought that he himself would get sick and die. But he passed a sign in a window that was Psalm 91. And he read it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you will live. And he was quickened by the word and had his confidence in this word. And he believed that, and he did. He lived many years as an effective pastor. God is our refuge. Not my medicine, though, as many of you know, I believe in modern medicine, and I'm very thankful for it. But it doesn't work without God being in it, too. God is the one that does it. with the modern medicine, just like everything else we do, like we drive our cars. It wasn't the car that brought me here. Yes, the car, but it was more. It was God. It wasn't the penicillin alone. It was more. The healing power is in God. It's in the fellowship with God. God is the healer, and He is our refuge and fortress. And my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. In verse 3, we are considered birds there. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you look a little bit like a bird. Are you a bird? A bald eagle. A sparrow. A little bird flying low. One of those huge South American condors. Huge. They stay up for a month. Can you imagine? They come down and break their legs. It's a big, you know, whoa. We are like birds, and the devil is like a bird catcher or fowler. He can catch you. But not when you're in the secret place of the Most High. He can catch you. I believe that. He can catch you. You think, oh, He can't catch you. He can catch you in me. Catch me. Put me in jail. I'm sure of it. He can do it. And of course, if that happened, then I would be delivered out of the fowler's hand when I was in jail. And so on. But I like to think about this amazing principle of deliverance. From the noisome pestilence, a disease, a virus, you know, a virus, these viruses that are all around us in the world and changing the biomedical world of always tracking down and finding. And we, for some reason, are healthy or you're not, but the psalm still applies. I just know that there is power in these words. Not as the words of men, but the words of God. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Great defense, great authority, great hiding place from the strife of tongues, great comfort at night when we go to sleep, peace deep in our hearts. You're in the secret place of the Most High. A divided heart is a problem. Hosea 10 refers to My people, their heart is like a silly dove. Like they go there, they go there. They're not solid and set like a flint, like Christ was. But get close to God. Put aside the things that are easily distracting and tempting us. And lean wholeheartedly upon Him. And you'll find the peace come. The authority come, and the temptation becomes like a small thing. Now, that particular one that I was talking about, and no, even all of them, and for a large amount of time, you have found yourself with peace and a fellowship where you're excited about going home, literally waiting upon God, or getting up early in the morning, waiting upon God and getting the Spirit of God minister to you and edify you and speak to you and make things clear. And that you live in wisdom and you have an authority and you bring all kinds of things that are conflicts and unresolved things and personality things and all kinds of things as God would lead you, bring them to your mind and you pray and it is done. You pray and it's over. It's done. Forgiveness. The Lord will say, forgive. And I'll say, I'll forgive. I forgive. Of course I forgive, but. Or it says, drop the but. Forgive. Of course you know I forgive everything, but. Years later, I forgive, but. That's not forgiveness. Drop the but. And drop the whole thing. Drop it all. Hide in the secret place of the Most High. God will take care of you. I love that story. Listen, and I listen to this. I know you're following it with me, but this king, was he king of Judah? I think he was king. They're the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. He paid for the Syrian army. It was 100 talents of silver. I think that was the number. I think it was 4.7 tons of silver was paid to Syrians for an army. And the prophet came to the king and said, you shouldn't have done that. Cancel it. And the king goes, I paid. It's already done. And he said, the Lord can give it back to you. Forget it. Cancel it. So he did. He canceled it. Then the army is angry, and so they attack. They attack Judah. And the prophet said, that's not a problem. When God is with us, God is with us. Kiss goodbye to the silver, the tonnage. Kiss it goodbye. It's better to do God's will. That's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. That's having God's mind in life. Forgiving. Wow. Well, what happens? Well, here it says, verse 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. So terror by night. The Cherokee Indians are attacking the camp in the middle of the night. And the arrow that flies by day, they're also flying. They're attacking in the day. Well, we're not worried about the North American Indians today, but we are concerned about the ISIS terrorists. But are we really? Nah, not really. I'm not. I'm not concerned about them. I mean, yeah, I know about national security and I understand all that. No, but I'm saying I could go there. Why? Because it can't happen to me unless it is God's will. It cannot happen to me. The enemy cannot take me out until it's a certain time because we're in the secret place of the Most High. Now follow that with me. It's for you to think it through because you don't need to believe me just because I said it. You don't anyway. But you're going to process it and think it through. I believe I could never be in an airport at a certain place at a certain time for me to be taken out by an ISIS terrorist unless it was God's will. It cannot happen unless it is God's will. And what's wrong with God's will? Hey. It's a win-win situation. It's over. You know? I'd rather go out that way than in a nursing home like for years and years, drooling on my apron or something and eating oatmeal every day. I don't know. Sorry. I'm not sorry, but I mean, whatever. Who cares? This is deeper than our lives. It is better than, his loving kindness is better than life. This is beautiful. Look at the next verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We will just move along here. You can imagine the pestilence, the virus, the infection. In the darkness and the destruction and the midday sun, that is also not a problem for us. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Joshua, did that happen to you? Yep. Caleb, did that happen to you? Yep. And Moses, did that happen to you? Yep. Daniel, did that happen to you? Yeah. I was with the lions all night. They couldn't touch me. Here, pussycat, come on over here. How you doing? Hungry, aren't you? Aren't you hungry? Not going to happen. Now, okay. I'm just saying, Jesus, what about you? They couldn't touch me until that day. And then, Paul, what about you? I was in the secret place. Jesus told me I would suffer many things, and I did. But I got to tell you, through it all, His grace was sufficient. Through it all, I found Christ with me all the time. He was close to me. He appeared to me on the ship in Acts 27. He was there in 2 Timothy 4 when I first gave my first answer. No man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me, and He strengthened me. And I believe I shall be delivered from every evil thing, and I have committed unto Him unto that day, that He will keep that which I have committed unto Him. I have lost nothing, I have gained everything. The secret place of the Most High. Where is it? Some believers, they don't have the interest, they won't pay a price, they're not seeking, they're not searching, they're careless, they give up. They surrender. They become status quo. There's nothing special, nothing really motivating them. They've lost the contact. They've lost the fellowship that moves the heart. They've lost the interest to get engaged. They've lost the life of faith, and they need a special, fresh anointing to bless them. And I want that to happen to all of us. Verse 7, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Just a few more minutes here. Only with your eyes shall you see, behold, the reward of the wicked. I will see the wicked washed up on the shore. I will see the men in the Persian Empire cast into the lion's den and devoured. The ones responsible for confederating a conspiracy against me, it'll turn back on their heads. I will see Haman hanging from the gallows, and I'll walk away like Mordecai, and I'll walk away and say, I have seen God in this whole thing, and I see my enemy hanging there. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, verse 9, even the Most High, thy habitation. You've gotten into consistently living in Him. You got in the habit of living in Him. I want to say praise God for the church that assembles on a Wednesday night. I want to say praise God, we've lost how many TV shows tonight? How many foolish things have we, what have we lost tonight by gathering? A few dollars of gasoline, maybe another perusal through a magazine and some dumb show that really mounts to a hill of beans at the end of the day. What have I gained? I've gained you. I've gained the fellowship of the saints. I've gained a faith vision and a knowledge about the secret place. And also I got a beautiful little ride home when I'm going home tonight. Just waving to people as I go by. And I'm on my way, and I can stop even and treat myself to an ice cream cone if I want to. I have lost nothing, gained everything. Eternal, this recorded, written down in a book in Malachi 3:16, and it helps us live life. Wow, what do they call the wine-sipping liberals? I don't know what was one of the presidents said. You know, the whole thing is kind of funny. Forget it. But I'm saying, hey, You know why I'm not a drinker? Because I got the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know why I don't even go near the stuff? It kills people, destroys marriages, makes people laugh. And you ever know, maybe you're not hanging around with that group. I'm not, but I take note of the fact that alcohol loosens the tongue and you end up saying stupid things. And you say things to your wife you should have never said. You say things to your best friend you should have never said. The next morning you wake up and say, what did I say? What happened last night? Why did I say that? Oh no, I hope they'll forgive me. The phone rings. You're calling them. You know, you're calling, they don't answer. They don't talk to you anymore. That's stupid. What did it? You know what did it. Okay, let's forget that and move on. I mean, the secret place of the Most High has so many benefits. The secret place of the Most High is a place of divine blessing. And I have no interest in the other. And I praise God for that. I'm just saying it. Okay, let's go to verse 10. We're almost done. No evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I'm like a little bit dabble in history. I read about this bacteria that that was in the stomach of a flea that was on rats that came by boat from Central Asia. This is 1348 to Europe. That bacteria. When the fleas would get on people from the rats in their beds, that bacteria, the flea in the stomach of the flea, if it bit you, then it caused a lung infection, and you, within a week, you're dead. This happened in Europe. And it was 1349, it's spreading through Europe. 1350. People are being buried by the whole village is wiped out. All you had to do was cough, and that bacteria went to the other person. Whole village, little boats in the rivers and in the villages, empty, people dead, the whole village gone. And a relative would hear their relative is sick, they would come and go back home and bring it back. Amazing. By 1351, half of Europe is dead. Half of the population is gone. They're dead. Well, there are real pestilences and real plagues. And here it says, it will not come nigh your dwelling. How amazing is that? The plague will not come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, angels, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. How many times angels have helped us, saved us, delivered us. Car accidents. Scott Robinson was driving Dr. Stevens in the highway in New England, and pastor is sleeping. They had a long day. It was preaching, and pastor's in the passenger seat, and he's sleeping. Scott is driving. Scott falls asleep. And they're heading right for a toll booth. And suddenly, like, Scott feels somebody shaking him. And he wakes up and he puts on the brakes. And he looks at the pastor sleeping. He goes, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wow, is that true? I mean, could that be how it is? Could angels be in charge helping us? Could we be awakened? Could we be stirred? Because we're in the secret place of the Most High? Could this be real? Could the 91st Battalion in World War I actually have no casualties because God wants to make a statement about this? Could Jesus be telling us in Psalm 91, that's my psalm. I lived in the secret place of the Most High. They couldn't touch me all my life. The devil wanted to eat me for dinner, but he couldn't have me Because my God is in heaven and He dwells in the high and holy place. And He sent angels to be a support, encouragement, help me physically. Listen, for angels, two little things. Jesus is dead. His body's there. He's resurrected. When they go in the tomb, there's two angels. One at His head, where His head was. One at His feet. Why? Because those are the two parts of us that need help. Our head needs help. Our spirit, our mind needs help. And our physical life, our feet, needs help. I believe angels are in this world to help me in a spiritual way to think right. I think they help me in the morning in my prayer. I think the angels help us in the atmosphere that we are part of and ministering in. And I believe that the angels have something to do with our physical life. Because it's written here. Okay, let's finish. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hand. Thou shalt dash, lest thou dash thy foot or run through a toll booth at high speed without stopping. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. Daniel did it, Samson did it, and David did it. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Luke 10. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Pray, please. Maybe someone here doesn't have Jesus Christ. He is the living God. He's the one that knows He cares for you. You may have many questions. Very good. You have many questions. Very good. Those questions are welcomed. There are very good answers for you. Very good answers if you want. God speaks secrets to those that He calls His friends. Today you're accepting Him and becoming His friend and child. He, your Savior. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in You. Save me, I pray. Save me by Your grace. And raise your hand here in the auditorium. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Yes, anyone. Anyone at all, yes to the Lord. Yes, anyone. Thank You, Jesus, in Your name.